And what a wonderful Savior we have, right? This time of year, can you believe that? God actually entered this planet and lived as a man and came as a little baby, a helpless little baby. What a wonderful time of celebration. We're picking up again back in the book of Mark. If you would take your Bibles and look at Mark chapter 4, okay? Turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 4. If you've heard the name Dawson Trotman before, Dawson Trotman was the one who started, the founder of the Navigators. The Navigators is an influential ministry among college personnel and military personnel. In fact, if you've heard of the name pastor who's been on the radio, Chuck Swindoll. I think Chuck Swindoll was saved through the ministry of the Navigators. But they had a Bible memorization, good stuff in the military and on college campuses. But Dawson Trotman taught those who became involved with the Navigators that they were born to reproduce. In fact, he wrote an article or a little pamphlet on born to reproduce. That is, those who are shown the light of the gospel should in turn carry that light to others. Last time we were in the book of Mark, we were studying the sower, the seed, and the soil. That's found in the beginning of chapter 4 of Mark. And the highlight on that is the different types of soil representing, as Jesus explained it to his disciples, the hearts of men. And you know, Jesus said the sower went out to sow, and he sowed some on hard soil, and birds came and took it away. And he explained what that was. Those who hear it readily, but then it just goes in one ear and out the other, basically. And then he said there was those that were sown among the rocky soil where it grew. There was underneath that land in the Holy Land. It wasn't rock in amongst the soil. There was a layer of limestone oftentimes. And so the soil that didn't have much depth, but it would sprout right away, but it didn't have the opportunity to go down and get into the moisture so deep in the depth of the earth. And so when the sun came out, it would wilt and die. Similar to Jesus said, when persecution comes. And then there was that soil, if you remember, that was sown where there was a lot of thorns in the ground. We looked at those type of thorns and thistles and weeds we know are so common, and they would choke out the fruit, and it wouldn't bear fruit either. But the last type of soil was the good soil. And that, he said, produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. It was amazing the amount of produce, fruit, that came from that soil. Now, Jesus began to speak to his disciples in parables. We know that he spoke in parables, but one of the first things, or one of the things that you might not have realized, and even I don't think I realized it that early either, is that Jesus Christ didn't speak in parables at the beginning. He began to speak in parables, and we're right now in the fourth chapter of Mark. We're about halfway through his ministry. If you would take a book called The Harmony of the Gospels, where all the Gospels are kind of overwoven in and out with one another chronologically, you find that a good portion of the Harmony of the Gospels concerned the last week of Jesus Christ on earth when he was in Jerusalem. All of his teachings related at that time. But right now, in the early part of Mark, already we're halfway through his ministry of 3 years. And he's beginning to speak in parables because, as we found out, the Jewish leaders had already determined in their mind that he was doing miracles. They could not deny that. They saw the miracles everywhere. But they said he was doing it by how? By the power of Satan, of Beelzebub. He was controlled by an unclean spirit. Jesus said, whoa, be careful. All manner of sin will be forgiven men except that blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, saying that he had an unclean spirit, saying the Holy Spirit was unclean. Jesus said, you're in danger of eternal damnation, meaning if you reject Christ as the source and his ministry of the Holy Spirit, you've rejected any hope of eternal salvation. Well, he began to speak in parables so that those who had already rejected him, they couldn't understand the truth. Those disciples were on the inside and he explained everything to them. And then there was the group of people there. Many, many were following at this time. We said he was so popular at this time that even last time we saw how he had to go out in a boat and he had to go away from shore because they were just, everybody was just trying to touch him. As many as would touch him were being healed. We showed a picture of those crowds in the Philippines where there are just millions of people trying to touch that statue of Jesus, the black statue of Jesus, thinking they're going to be blessed. Crowds, and there were people that are trampled to death in those crowds. That was similar to the crowds that surrounded Jesus. Lest he would be just smothered, he had to go out from the shore and teach the crowd. That's how popular he was, because everybody that touched him was healed. And then he cast out the demons. Amazing at this time. But because of the rejection, he spoke in parables for the religious leaders. But then those parables were also meant to reveal. You say, well, how were they meant to reveal if they were meant to hide? Well, like this. It's like that sign that says, do not touch wet paint. Some people can go by that and say, oh, it's wet paint, and go by it. How about you? With me, I would say, is it really that wet, right? So you want to touch it, right? Because the sign says it's wet. Well, that's similar. There were those who would be provoked to find out the answer. What is he talking about? And they would be encouraged to find the answer. That's what one of the reasons why he spoke in parables as well. But to the disciples, he explained everything. Now we're going on here, but Jesus in the parables that follow here, what we're looking at today, he's talking about the good soil. And he wants us to know, any of the hearers that receive the word of God, how we also can be have the characteristics of receiving the word of God in such a way that fruit is produced. I think it ought to be in the heart of every believer that they want to do something great for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to go through your life and not accomplish anything for Christ? How can you do that? How could you as a believer really say, well, I don't really care, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm fine as I am, I don't need to... No, Jesus Christ has done so much that we want to do for him in return, don't we? That's the cry of every believer's heart. I want to make my life count for Jesus. And so Jesus gives us some parables to understand how we can be good soil in our heart and receive the word of God so it bears much fruit. So let's take a look now at four things, I think, that are true in these parables which follow, which tell us how we can be good soil, how we can receive this word of God in the right manner. Well, let's look to the Lord one more time in prayer and ask him for the Holy Spirit to help us understand. Our Heavenly Father, now we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us through your word and through the Holy Spirit and through Christ Jesus. Even now, Lord, we would ask you, the Holy Spirit, to guide us into this truth. Help us to understand, not just so that we might be hearers of the word, but that we might be doers of the word. Apply your word to our life so that we can bear fruit that would glorify you. We pray it for Christ's glory. Amen. Now, if you want to have good soil, we're going to read these portions, these little parables as we go along here. One at a time here. But we need to receive the word of God rightly. And the first way we need to receive the word of God rightly is we need to receive the truth, the word of God, openly. How do you receive the word of God openly? Jesus, let's look at his next parable. After he talks about this 30, 60, and 100-fold, he says, verse 21, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. If we are to be the type of soil that produces good fruit, we need to hear, receive the word of God openly. Let's explain a little bit more what we mean by that here in this parable that he speaks here. He's talking about lampstands. I had the chance to go to Israel and I got a sample of a lampstand that was a pottery lampstand. They would take it. It was just a small little thing. You could hold it in your hand like this. I'm sure there were different sizes. It was made out of clay and then they put olive oil or vegetable oil in there of some type and they would have a wick and they would light the wick. The wick would come out and it was meant to be put in, carried around a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path, but then it would be put on a little ledge in the house so that everybody could see in that room. But it's interesting, the language is in here, in the Greek language. I noticed it right away when I went there. It was a common word, which you see, which meant to come or to go. And Jesus is saying, does a lamp come? Well, in our Bible, it's translated as, is a light brought? It's very rarely ever translated as brought. It's translated as a lamp come. Who is the light? What is the light? Is it not Jesus? Jesus was a light who came into the world. Nobody brought him into the world. So this word is kind of interesting word here. But is a light brought, and our translators let it know that, you know, a lampstand doesn't float in the air. It comes because somebody's carrying it. So that's why they translated brought. But the idea is that light is supposed to shine. And Jesus said further, he said, do you take it and you put it under a peck bushel? We know what a bushel is. We take a bushel basket and we carry apples. And, well, this was a peck measure. But you wouldn't put that lamp down and then put a bushel basket over it. Why would you do that? You wouldn't have any light. In fact, the oxygen would be depleted, probably go out, right? Nor do you put it under a bed. And, you know, the Jews at that time, they slept on a mat a lot of times. But there was a Roman-style bed that was an elevated bed. And this is the type of bed that's in mind here, that you wouldn't take a lampstand and put it under a bed. Good night. Would you want to try that at home? What would happen? I mean, well, not only wouldn't get the light, and that's the main point, but it could start on fire, right? That doesn't make sense. Why would you put it under a bushel? Why would you put it under a bed? It's common sense, right? Jesus is saying, when we get truth, we want to let and expose that truth to others. You think about it. If you are a believer, how did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Wasn't somebody sharing the gospel with you in an open fashion? It was my grandmother, 4'11". She was a different woman, but she had a one-track mind. You could not be in the room with her for very long before she would start preaching to you. She would sit in a rocking chair and she would rock and she would say it like this. I can hear her over and over again. It certainly is wonderful to be a Christian person. Implied in that statement is, I'm a Christian, you ought to be a Christian too. Right? And I would say back, Grandma, I'm already a Christian. And she said, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't do the things that you do, right? But she openly, and I heard many messages in church. We went from a Lutheran church to a Baptist church. And I heard salvation messages. In fact, I went out with the God's Invasion Army and they asked me to share my testimony. I don't know what I shared, but I didn't have a testimony to share. But I heard the message, but it was my grandmother who openly declared the gospel to me that finally I just said, I don't want to go to hell. Like she's, I want to go to heaven, right? And I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was in high school later on. But she shared it openly. She didn't hide her faith. And that's the way we ought to receive. Whatever we ought to receive from God that we understand, we ought to in turn communicate that message to others. We ought not to bury the truth. Now, in this parable of where Jesus is talking about the good soil, 60, 30, 60, and 100, when you study Scripture, there are different words for fruit. You got the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's the common one. You've got the fruit of good works. In the book of Hebrews, it talks the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. There's all types of fruit here, but if you're honest with this passage of the parables of the seed that's sown, what is the fruit? It's other believers coming to Jesus Christ. That's the fruit. What Jesus has in mind is each one of us, if we're good soil, we ought to be involved in sowing seed so that others might come to Christ as well. So when we receive truth, we ought to receive it openly with the idea of passing it on, sharing that light with others, because that's how we came to Christ. Somebody shared the message with us. Now, if the disciples had any confusion, Because remember, Jesus was speaking parables now to hide the truth. If they had any confusion as to whether they were to really make that truth known or to hid, Jesus made it clear they were to share the truth that they had. They did not have the full message right at this time, though. Do you remember at one time he told them not to cast their pearls before swine? And then at another time, he told them, if you go into a city and they don't receive you, shake off the dust of your feet. So there was a certain type of individual they were to hold back from sharing if they didn't receive it. But on the other hand, Jesus, in this parable, is saying, you ought to be a light. You ought to let that light shine. And one time, sooner or later here now, coming in the future, they were going to witness him dying on the cross. They were going to be witnesses of his resurrection. They would then have the full truth, and they were going to declare that message openly, right? So now in the New Testament, we live on the other side of the cross, and the book of Corinthians tells us if our gospel it's hidden to those who are lost. We, as believers today, we need to make the gospel as clear as we can so people understand what it takes to be saved, right? And you and I both know that that gospel is not very prevalent in our society today, is it? What's the message that people understand in their own mind how a person comes to Christ? Is it not? Well, yeah, Jesus Christ died on the cross, but it's by us doing good works, right? Is that a lie? It is a lie. We do not come to Jesus Christ by doing good works. We come by his death on the cross. They had that truth. We've got that truth today. And we need to receive this truth and share it openly. We are not undercover agents, okay? Not 007. We share it openly. I thought of this song even as I was studying. It came to my mind. Jesus, and shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glory shine through endless days? Ashamed of Jesus, soon or far, let evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine over this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, just as soon let midnight be ashamed of noon. 'Tis midnight with my soul till he, bright morning star, bids darkness flee. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Jesus, yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no joy to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain, till then I boast a Savior slain. And oh, may this my portion be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. Well, if we're to be the good soil, and Jesus at the end here, he said, everything's going to come to light, it's going to be revealed in time. But he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. If we are to receive this word of God in the right fashion, we receive it openly, not ashamed of it at all. That's a characteristic of good soil. Secondly, the second parable is, we not only receive it openly, but we receive it diligently. Diligently, what do you mean by that? Read verses 24 and 25. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, I'll say, why do you call it receive the truth diligently? Well, this is very simple again in the Greek. It says, when it says this, take heed what you hear, it's very simple words. It's blepete te akueta. It's a common word for see. Very common word for see. See what, be seeing what you're hearing. See what you're hearing. Does that make sense to you? See what you're hearing? That's what it says. But that word for see is not only understood to see with your eyes, it's to see with your mind. It's to understand. So it could be translated, pay attention. Understand what you're hearing. Or we could say it, and that's why I say, be diligent to understand what you're hearing. Don't be a lazy hearer of God's word. Don't just let it pass in one ear and out the other. Pay attention to what you're hearing. Understand it. Concentrate. Focus. These are important truths in the Word of God. You're not to listen with lazy ears or just be have your mind in neutral. You know, what a shame it is when we take this word, which is the eternal mind of God, and we treat it like, and go to sleep, you know. Read a couple verses and go to sleep. Listen, it's the glory of God to hide things. It's the glory of kings to search out matters. There are a lot of things in here that are hard to understand in God's Word. He gives us His Holy Spirit so that we might understand it. But how we ought to persevere to find out what the answers are to questions. There are questions I still have, what I don't really have all the answers to, and neither does anybody. But you talk about questions of like, when it's in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were told to go wipe out a nation, I have a hard time with that. I really don't understand it. And there are things that also in this word that I just don't understand. But you know what? There are answers. And God wants us to be diligent to dig out those answers, even as we're seeking to share with others. And He said this, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. That literally, three words are used. It could be translated this way. With the measure you measure, it will be measured to you. With the measure you measure, it will be measured to you. Doesn't have that word, whatever measure you use is not there. Whatever measure you measure, it will be measured to you. This is the idea. You want none of that Word of God to fall to the ground. You want to capture it, and you want to think about it, and let it meditate on it in your heart. If you let it fall to the ground, the idea is that God's going to treat you in the same way. He's not going to share new truth with you. You know, when I was in college, that age, I was not careful with the protection of my ears. I just wasn't careful. I worked on a construction job on the pipeline in the summertime, and we would be burying pipe underground, and we'd come to these concrete manholes, and sometimes we had to go down in the manholes with a jackhammer, okay? You know what a jackhammer sounds like in a concrete manhole? And I wouldn't put any hearing protection on, just rap, 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 you know, dig a hole for the pipeline to go through. Then I went down to Florida Bible College in Florida, and I worked at Fort Lauderdale Airport refueling jets. What a great job. It was a great job. It was a fun job. But a lot of times they give us hearing protection, but yeah, you put them on sometimes, you wouldn't put them on sometimes. I didn't ever felt any pain in my ears, but years later I found out that I hurt my hearing. Years later, and when I found out, I wear hearing aids. You don't see them here. I don't wear them in church. I wear them on the job because we've got these beepers that go off, and there's conversations going on, and so I miss the high-pitched noises, and so I've got to hear those, especially on the job, so I wear the hearing aids at work because I damaged that a long time ago. I can't get it back anymore, but I didn't feel like I was damaging them. But you know, that's the same with the spiritual hearing. If we're not careful with God's Word and treat it with the importance that we need to treat it with, we can become hard of hearing spiritually. Would you want to be hard of hearing spiritually? I know that's one of my prayers. Even though I'm praying for my ears, let me hear what's going on, even as I work on the job, but also let me hear spiritually. I'm swimming my laps in the pool. I'm on the lap where I'm, you know, thanking God for the Holy Spirit, and I'm praying, oh, Lord, let me hear the Holy Spirit in my daily life. I need to hear His voice. So we got to pay attention. We got to listen diligently, receive the Word of God diligently, and think about what we're hearing. The positive side of this is those who have, and we receive it rightly, more will be given. More will be given. You know I've blown it a lot in the Christian life, but one of the biggest joys of my heart is to still study this word. I have never found anything that is as exciting to study as the Word of God. I went through all that medical study to work where I'm working now, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the study of the human body because it's so complicated. I looked at it, these are God, the way God created man, right? Just amazed me, the human body, but still nothing compares to the Word of God. There is nothing. And the joy of discovery from the Word of God, do you find out? You listen, He'll give you more insight. I remember the time that, we won't go into that. I want to keep on track here. But the discovering things in the Word of God are so great. What a joy it is. But notice Jesus' warning. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away. But in the book of Luke, listen to what it says in the parallel passage in Luke. Take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. I don't want that to happen to me. Do you want that to happen to me? We want you to keep on gaining more understanding of God's Word. What the ultimate result is, so that we can be good soil and share what we learn with other people openly so that others can come to Christ, right? So we're to receive the Word of God openly. We're to receive the Word of God diligently. And let's now look. We're to receive the Word truth dependently. Look at this next parable in chapter 4 here, starting verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So we need to receive the Word of God dependently. A.T. Robertson said this, the mystery of growth still puzzles farmers and scientists of today with all our modern knowledge. By nature, secret processes do not fail to operate because we are ignorant. The secret and mysterious growth of the kingdom in the heart and life is the point of this beautiful parable in Mark. When man has done his part, the actual process of growth is beyond his reach or comprehension. And what a tremendous revelation that is for us. We who want to get out the Word of God and want to see others, we want to see a church grow, you know what? All we have to do is to sow the seed. Our responsibility is not to make the seed grow. It's just to sow the seed. This farmer goes out and he sows the seed, and what does he do? He goes home to bed and sleeps at night. He sleeps. That's encouragement for us. We need to go out and sow the seed. And, you know, farmers live by, they've learned by experience that they've got to trust in God for things, right? The weather and the elements. When we sow seed to other people, we just trust Him to bring the life. When verse 28 says the earth yields crops by itself, interesting word in the original language is automate. Automate. I don't see it before me right now, so I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. But it's a word from which we get automatic. It's only word used one other time in the New Testament. That's when Peter was in prison and they were putting him to death the next day. And God sent an angel. Do you remember that story? And Peter thought he was dreaming. He was chained between two guards. The angel came, those chains fell off. And the angel, he followed the angel. He said, gird up your loins, follow me. And he led him out here and there. And then in the Acts chapter 12, it says, verse 10, when they passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street. Immediately the angel departed from him, and he went to where the disciples were gate. But there they were. They came to this gate, and the gate opened by itself. Automate. It opened automatically. And that's the way seed grows. It grows. The earth does it automatically, by itself. We don't understand it. The farmer doesn't know it. The blade comes, and then the fruit, and then the fruit within that pod. It's amazing. even though he doesn't understand it, it still comes. And isn't that true, the way the word that we saw the church grow in the New Testament? There was 120 people. That's all. After all of Jesus' ministry, we know there were maybe 500 in Galilee that saw him after he raised from the dead. But at Pentecost, how many did he have of all of his ministry that he did? And I told you there were thousands of crowd that were pressing upon him. They turned away from him, though. Do you remember John chapter 6? The only ones that were left in Jerusalem to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit were 120 people. That's it. But shortly thereafter, when Peter preached on Pentecost, 3,000 came. And then a few days later, 5,000. The church just blossomed and bloomed and it grew as the seed entered into the hearts of men. And have you watched it with individuals too? You and I might share with individuals. Joe talks about an individual that he dealt with at different time in the past. And at his wedding, I talked to one of those individuals. He used to be an alcoholic, right, Joe? This one man I was talking to, and now he's sitting there studying Scripture. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God just blossoms in a heart? I went to Woodland Barbershop there in Duluth, Minnesota, and the guy was cutting my hair. My dad bowled for the Woodland Barbershop team, a Skyline bowling alley, and this barber says, "I don't understand your dad anymore. We never see him. He doesn't come out to bowl." I said, "Well, my dad's got some different interests right now." "What's that?" "Well, he spends a lot of time studying the Bible. He used to bowl 130 nights a year. He used to bowl. And now he's studying the Bible." And you know what? It wasn't because he didn't like bowling. He liked bowling. But he just found so much more excitement in the Word of God. How does that happen? As the Word of God bears fruit in a heart. Isn't it amazing how that happens? And each one of you could testify that, yeah, my life changed around when that's fruit, the Word of God, the seed just blossomed in your heart. What encouragement is that to us? So when we receive the Word of God, we receive it dependently, even as we're sharing it. Because God's the one who brings life. All we have to do is go out and sow the seed, right? Well, we're going to say more about that in a little bit. But what about the birds in this parable? Oh, excuse me, I skipped a page here, okay? Encouraging for us, we depend upon him. Let's look at the last one now, okay? The last one is receive the truth expectantly. Let's look at Mark chapter 4 here, and let's look at verse 30 now. Then he said, "To what shall ye liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And we'll read these last verses as well, verses 33 and 34. "And with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And without a parable he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." But what about this parable of the mustard seed now? When we receive the word of God, we can and we ought to receive it expectantly. We receive it dependently, but you know what? Jesus said, the expansion of the Word of God is amazing. It grows. It's like taking a mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed, apparently, I haven't seen what it looks like, but they said it's as small as a grain of sand. And there may have been seed that's smaller than that, but it was type of seed that Israel farmers sowed. And when they would sow it, it could grow to 12 to 16 feet high. And birds would come, and the branches were thick enough that the birds would land on it and enjoy the shade of the tree. What an amazing thing. A grain of sand and 16 feet high, 15 feet high. How amazing is that? You remember the other parable that Jesus said about having faith as a grain of mustard seed? If you had that much faith, you could tell a mountain to move and it'd be moved. But how the church grew. And so we can expect growth even as we scatter or sow the seed. Well, what about in this parable about the birds in this parable? You know, and Jesus just talked about the sower, the seed, and the soil, and he said that there were birds that came, remember, and the ones that were the wayside taken picked up that seed and took it away. Those were the workers of Satan in that parable. You know, it's true that even today, in any church that there is, there's always professors of faith that aren't real true believers in a church. Did you realize that? In Christendom, there would be people like Judas Iscariot who would be gathered who wouldn't be really true believers, even among Jesus' disciples. So there's truth in that, that birds can hide in the church of God, but there's also a parable that was taught in the book of Daniel, or dream, where Nebuchadnezzar saw him as his kingdom as a huge kingdom, a huge tree, and then there were birds in it, but those birds were represented other nations that gathered in the shade of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. So Jesus is talking about, it could be talking about here, of as the church grows, there are ones, kingdoms, and there are groups of people that gain even advantage from the growth of the church. Isn't it true that the United States, even as we thought about it last year or last week, you think about how this nation has prospered because of the church growth in the United States, right? And now we're seeing, of course, a demise of this nation. Christianity has been put on a back burner. But this nation is great because of the Christian, Judeo-Christian ethic of this nation. The hard work, the principles that this country was founded upon, and how so many people have been blessed by those principles in the pulpit ministry in the early country, in the seminaries and the schools like Harvard and Yale, and that produced those preachers of the Word of God. How this country benefited by that. In the politicians that came to be, who were men of integrity because of the Word of God, the effect of the Word of God in their lives. So that could be one of the things as well this parable is teaching about the birds sheltering in the trees. But the main point is that God's kingdom will expand. And that ought to give us excitement. He's encouraging the disciples. You can receive the Word of God, depend upon God for growth, and you can receive it expectantly. When you share the seed, amazing expansion can occur. Now that is there to encourage our hearts as well. We're a small group of people. But if we get out and sow the seed, life will be created in people's hearts, and this church can expand to amazing proportions. Wouldn't that be exciting to see that happen? If we can get out the seed. You know, you talk about how when people take money and invest money in the stock market, for example, they watch that stock market so closely, looking for a return on their investment. You talk about entrepreneurship in the United States. My son-in-law was telling me over the Thanksgiving, he's a vice president of Optimum Nutrition. Optimum Nutrition is ones that got this protein powder. All these athletes, you go down to export over here, all these weightlifters, they're all taking in this protein powder like crazy. Well, Mark is in that division now, and he was telling me about a new product they have, True Source. They're marketing in a Kroger store first. And he said, take a drink of this can, a little small can like this he gave me. And it was a protein drink, but it tasted just like a latte or something like that, you know. I said, man, this is good stuff, you know. So he's excited about it. They got protein water and other things are in this True Source. But here he is as an entrepreneur in this company just looking forward and see the return on their investment. Now, you and I can get excited and if we can invest and get out some seed, we can see some great returns. Wouldn't that be exciting? This is by way of application. This is what I want to suggest. Let's think of ways we can get out the seed. We don't have to have the greatest intelligence. We don't have to have the best music on earth. If we can just get out the seed, we will grow. God honors His seed when it goes out. And I thought about, in the new year, we're going to start a men's breakfast, okay? We've talked about it as deacons. We're going to meet once a month on a Saturday. But some Saturday, we're going to invite people out to this, but I thought during that breakfast time, we're going to make sure the gospel is shared. The gospel is shared. With what other men can we get out to come to breakfast with us? How about this auditorium? We can probably sit 400 or 500 people in this auditorium. I don't know how many they are. Okay, 400? But you know what? We could have concerts in here, right? With kind of anything to draw music or to draw people out and make sure the gospel is presented at a concert like that, right? Why couldn't we have some personality that is a well-known personality? Go out on a limb and get a personality. Maybe a believer from the Chicago Bears in here. Maybe a legislator like Daniel Webster, at least in his home state of Florida. But have somebody like that who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Have them present and then have the gospel shared. Get that seed out into people's hearts, right? Now, we could stand on a street corner and pass out tracts. But I don't know about you. I've never had a whole lot of good success doing that. I think people take those tracts and the first trash can they come to, they throw it in the trash. But still, you're getting out the Word of God. Somebody's going to read those tracts, so it's better than nothing, right? But if we could think creatively how we could get out the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you my cell phone number. And if you have some ideas of how we could sow the seed as a church, text the idea back to me. Write this number down, okay? And you can text me. My telephone number is 224-277-0580. 224-277-0580. If you've got an idea. And then my email, if you want to email me as well, it's just my personal email. It's my first initial, last name, rlepine@msn.com. Microsoft Network, msn.com. rlepine@msn.com. If you've got an idea, maybe a way that we could get out the seed. Because if we get out the seed, God brings life and causes growth from the seed. That's encouraging, isn't it? It really is, ought to encourage our hearts. Well, in closing, let me just say that this morning's message, we've been talking, directing to disciples, okay? Those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there may be somebody here who's really not sure of your relationship with the Lord. You're really not sure if you've got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got a reservation in heaven. Do you know you need a reservation to get to heaven? Did you know that? We went on a vacation one time down at Easter. We went down to Florida, and as we were driving back, it was getting late at night, and I think we were in Tennessee or Kentucky, I forget, but we were looking for a motel, and it was Easter vacation. We were driving back, and all of a sudden, I was getting really tired to drive, and so we stopped at a motel. No vacancies. Looked in other places. No vacancy. No vacancy. No vacancy. Wow, we had to go to the next city. No vacancy. No vacancy. Because we did not have a reservation. Do you know that you need a reservation for heaven? I talked to one of my coworkers at a store that I was working one time and talked to him about, you know, why should God let you into your kingdom? If you were to stand before God and he said, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? And he said, well, what I would do is I'd throw myself on his mercy. And I thought to myself, well, that's the right answer, but it's the wrong time. You don't wait until you stand before Jesus Christ to throw yourself on his mercy. You throw yourself on his mercy now. Because what he's done, God has already made provision that he died on the cross for our sins, right? Every single one, past, present, and future, he buried in the ground, buried, and then he rose from the dead, showing that the sins were paid for. Completely paid for. When he died on the cross, one of his last words were, Tetelestai. It is finished. That was a rubber stamp that you'd put on bills at that time to say, I'm not sure how they did it with a rubber stamp, but they put Tetelestai. Paid in full. Your sins, my sins were paid in full on the cross. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. Now he can offer us as a free gift eternal life. If you would just trust in him as your Savior and Lord, receive his Spirit into your life. That's getting that reservation, preparing you for receiving eternal life right now and then forever into the future. His gift of God is eternal life forever. But I will tell you this, he's going to come into your heart and he'll change your heart's desires That happened to me. It was not my plan to be a pastor, but he changed my desires. But like George Zimmer, is that his name for the men's warehouse? When you go in there and buy a suit, he says what? I guarantee you're going to like the way you look, right? In the same way, when you trust in Jesus Christ, I guarantee you're going to like the way you look in the inside, getting those new desires. I guarantee you. I saw it happen. I would never change it any differently now. Let's look to the Lord in closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for the Holy Spirit that teaches us. Lord, help us to be good soil that will receive your word openly, Father, and receive your word diligently. Receive it dependently, Father, and receive it expectantly. Your word has power. May it bear fruit. Help us to scatter that seed so that others might come to know you as Lord and Savior as well, might see that light as well and be able to share it with others. We give you thanks now as we pray these things. Amen.